Risen Lord, guide my hand against your Roman popery.
And they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom.
We're on a mission from God.
Entitled, you want answers.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth. Maybe we should chug on over to Mamby Pamby Land, where maybe we can find some self-confidence for you, you jackwagon!
Coming to you live from his padded cell high atop Bethel Church, the most heralded, the most despised talk show in all of human history. This is the talk show Hell Hates. This is Pastor Mike Online.
Coming to you live from a top-secret broadcasting compound here at Area 52. This is Pastor Mike with the talk show that hell hates. The more you listen, the more you know why. I have a word in my mind today, and we're going to go through the Bible and look at this one particular word or forms of it. And it, to me, this word describes perfectly the world that we live in, the financial systems of this world, the political systems of this world, the educational systems of this world, the religious systems of this world, religious institutions, the medical institutions of this world. What else? As I mentioned, government. I mentioned religion, financial. I mentioned political. I mentioned education. What else is there? But it describes, and it describes us. Describes the flesh that we currently dwell in. And describes it perfectly. These bodies that we're desperately trying to keep alive, you are going to lose that battle. Now, I've made it clear over the years that I am not a health food type person. I don't eat grass. For some bizarre reason, I don't do it. I try to restrict my diet to a lot of proteins, protein-based diet. Try to leave out a lot of the carbohydrates. But I'll be honest with you. Bread is mentioned in the Bible as being good. Is it not? Unleavened bread represents the Word of God. It represents Christ. Represents the manna that came down from heaven was bread. It was a grain substance that they put and ground up into a flour, and they made cakes out of it. They made bread out of it, and they ate it every day. So I don't think that bread in itself is necessarily evil. It's just that when I take in a lot of carbohydrates, I gain weight, and it doesn't take much with me. It doesn't take much with me at all. But I'm just not the health food type person. just isn't me. Some people, I wouldn't judge any one particular person by name, but it does appear to me that some people think that by maintaining a certain diet, well, that's the diet God wants us on. God wants us to have that diet. And I will say this, I don't have a problem with you following the Old Testament dietary laws. I don't have a problem with that in the world. But neither should you judge me or anybody else because of our diet. Because the Bible makes it clear, the New Testament makes it absolutely clear. When God commanded Peter three times, he wasn't tempting him. He commanded him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." Peter said, "I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean." Well, he sent it down again, "Arise, Peter, kill and eat." He wasn't tempting him. God does not tempt man to sin. The whole idea was what the Old Testament called unclean, the New Testament cleans. Which is why I eat bacon and sausage and pork loin and pork chops, all that good stuff. And Paul says that. That all things can be eaten, for they are sanctified by the word of God and by the prayer of thanksgiving. Which is why we pray over our meals. We're giving thanks unto God for making his provision for us, in whatever form that is, for sanctifying that food for us to eat. And giving us life. So, I mean, I'm just not that kind of person. I'm trying to benefit others by lengthening my life for as long as the Lord wants me to be here. But understand something. No matter how hard you try to keep yourself from being sick, from getting unhealthy, or anything like that, no matter how hard you try, the death rate is still 100% among humans. It is still 100% among humans. That is because when we sinned, when Adam sinned, when Eve sinned, immediately we were cast away from the presence of the tree of life to no longer have access to an earthly tree of life so that we could live in this body for all of eternity. Now that we have been removed from the tree of life, and because of Adam and Eve's original sin, and because of our sin, for what by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, there isn't enough whey protein and grass and whatever leaves you eat, there isn't enough of that stuff to keep you alive forever. Death happens to everybody, whether they die healthy or they die sick, it doesn't matter. Let me move on. It is because of this one word that I long for the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. I long for it. I crave it. I am so tired of seeing the lies that are spread around. I'm so tired of seeing the devil create multiple schisms among people who should be brethren in Jesus Christ, should be all part and members of the body of Jesus Christ, and yet the devil creates schisms to divide and to conquer each one of us. I'm tired of that. I'm tired of the corrupt financial systems. I'm tired of the corrupt government systems. You name it. This world is corrupt to its core. And that's the word. That's the word. So you get out your Pure Bible Search software and you're able to do a word search on just the word corrupt or corruptible or corrupted or let's see here, corruption, corruptly is another form of that. When you type in corrupt and then add an asterisk on your keyboard, that's shift and the number 8 is where the asterisk is. You type in the word corrupt and right after the T, don't put a space there, right after the T, put that little asterisk there and it'll search for all forms of the word corrupt, corruptly, corruption, and so on and so on. And you'll get profound wisdom out of doing a study like that. So let's go down the road of scriptures this morning and I'll tell you what I'm talking about. And just let me ask you this question. Is there corruption in government institutions? Is there corruption in religious institutions? Is there corruption in educational institutions? Is there corruption in financial institutions? Is there corruption among big business? Is there corruption in organizations, like fraternal organizations? Is there corruption in churches? Is there corruption in the educational systems around the world? Is there any corruption there? Is there corruption on the job site and the way people do their work? Is there corruption in churches? Is there corruption in different Bibles? Yes. So then, if you are born of corruption, then the body that you are born with is a corrupt body. If you join a church that is a corrupt church, then you have joined yourself in with corrupt people. Now, if you go in ignorantly or not knowing that the church is corrupt, and then you find out the corruption, it's yours to either stay or leave. And if you stay, you're going to be judged with them because you gave consent to what they were doing. But if you leave, then God holds you guiltless because after you saw the corruption, you said, I can't be a part of this. And you walked out. Let's go to Genesis 6, the first place the word is used. The Bible says in verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. And remember what Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah. As it was then, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we look back at the story of Noah and we get these little details that just stand out to us. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So, he was perfect in his generations, his genetics. Noah was a direct descendant of Adam. We all are. We all are a direct descendant of Adam. And we're also a direct descendant of Noah. And we know that in Genesis 6, the sons of God, who are the evil angels, began corrupting the bloodline of mankind. Corrupting the seed. And so the Bible says that these are the generations of Noah. Noah was perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And the earth also was corrupt before God. The entire world was corrupt before God. God looked at it and he said, this is not how I created it. And think of what corruption is. If you've ever walked through the woods and all of a sudden you got a whiff of something strong, a real bad stench like sulfur, and you go, man, something's dead around here. And you go searching for it, and sure enough, there's a carcass of a deer or something like that that has died, and, you know, the body is bloated and everything like that, and it starts the decaying process, and it smells, and you're going, oh, man, this is awful. This is terrible. Well, corruption stinks. Our body right now is holding down and staving off the corruption that is built into us. But upon our death, the body processes that hold off the corruption process can no longer function, and corruption immediately begins to take over. Immediately. Certain biological life forms that are in us, germs and whatnot, they start increasing and eating away parts of our body. Flies smell the carcass or see the carcass and immediately begin to lay their eggs on it. And that's why you'll see maggots all over some dead animal, because the maggots are fly larvae and they're eating away the flesh of whatever animal that is to feed the larvae so it can transform into flies. Flies also are a form of corruption. We'll get into that. So the earth was also corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with what? Violence. Violence, you could say, is a corruption of the laws of God. The laws of God tell us the two laws that we're under. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. The second law is to love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I love my country. I love America. These are my people. But I can tell you that in most houses, most homes, most families in this country are corrupt. They are very, very corrupt. Thank you very much, sweetie pie. Brought me another soda. She loves me. Most homes are corrupt. All you have to do is go to the grocery store or go to Walmart. Or go to some place and watch how children behave and act in these stores. And parents do nothing about it. Absolutely nothing about it. When I was young, if I asked my mom for a penny for a piece of bubble gum, yeah, that's what they used to cost. You put a penny in the machine and get a piece of bubble gum out. And she didn't give it to me. I didn't start cursing her and hitting her and throwing some big fit. If I would have done that, my mom would have whipped me right there in the store. You'd get away with that back then. But you see what I'm talking about. All flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. The people of the country that I love, the people of the country that I live with, I would die for this country. But I'll tell you, we have become a very corrupt people. You've got men and women who are in a marriage relationship who are using their phones or their computers or whatever to socially hook up with people that it's basically for one purpose. It's not to find a long-term, lifelong partner to be with, a wife or a husband. It's basically intended for a one-time hookup, and that's it. It's over with. And I know people. I personally know people. No, they don't go to this church. But I personally know people who use apps like that and are married and are constantly seeking out some person, male or female. Doesn't matter to them. That's corruption. That's decay. That's what happens to a nation whose God is no longer the Lord. That's what happens. The institution of marriage has been corrupted in this country. The love between a husband and a wife, that has been corrupted in this country. Majorly, all over the world. But it's been corrupted. How did God deal with the corruption of the earth and upon the flesh? And verse 12, God looked upon the earth and behold, it was corrupted, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. How did God deal with it? It finally got so bad that God had to stop it and clean it up permanently. Clean it up for good. He destroyed all of the corruption that was on the earth. All of the corrupt people. All of their corrupt religions. All of their corrupt politics. All of their corrupt institutions. All of the corruption that was between mankind. The earth, he says here, the earth is filled with violence. We have people in this country that have become so entitled to everything that they think is owed to them. We pull in a drive-thru and we order some sort of hamburger or sandwich or something like that. And if one pickle's left off of it, we blow a gasket. Slam the food down. I want service. I deserve better than this. And you end up in a Karen video. If you know what that is, look them up. Okay? And you look up Karen videos on YouTube and you'll see what I'm talking about. You'll see people getting into fights over the dumbest things in the world. Ridiculous things. And it's because of corruption. Corruption, when corruption sets in, violence takes over. We get violent about, I have a right to do this. I have a right to receive this. I have a right. Racism is corruption. Racism is corruption. It says that you're not as good as I am, therefore you don't deserve what I deserve because you are of a different skin color. Which means you have weird ways, which means we don't want you around. That's corruption. That is a corruption against God. It is violence toward your fellow man and a corruption against the law of God that says love your neighbor as yourself. Look at this. Acts 8:24. I want you to get your Bible out today. I was gonna put all these on a nice little PowerPoint for you, and I'll be honest with you. I woke up this morning, and for no reason, just in a foul mood. I mean, an evil mood. Very irritable. And I didn't like it. So, I knew better than to talk to people on the phone because I didn't want to sound hateful. And again, I had no reason to. I wasn't mad at anybody. I wasn't really upset about anything. But boy, I sure did. I woke up this morning with a chip on my shoulder. And people would tell me, well, just get over that. How do you do that? How do you do that? My way of getting through it is to get away so that I don't hurt somebody with my mouth. Because I don't want to do that to people. In Exodus 8, verse 24, one of the plagues that came upon Egypt, it says the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh. And I want you to think about what flies would represent in the Bible. How do flies get around? They fly. What do they have? Wings. Anything that has wings in the Bible is going to represent a spirit of some kind. So there are corrupting spirits. Spirits that work to bring corruption to everything that God tries to do in this world. The devil immediately tries to get it to go bad. And the sooner the better. Ask yourself this question. Put this over here. Ask yourself this question. How many churches, how many denominations, how many ministries that was built upon a certain man, how many of them started out good and turned bad? Jim and Tammy Baker started out in the ministry with sort of a youth ministry, and they went around doing puppet shows, using a little comedy and things like that. And they were their goal and their purpose was to try to evangelize young people and bring them to Christ. But is that how the story of their life ended? No. The story of them two together, Jim Baker and Tammy Faye Baker, Jim ends up in federal prison. Tammy ends up divorcing him, and then ending up on a show with a sodomite, Jim J. Bullock, who was on a TV show with Ted, what was his name, Ted Knight? And, I mean, he was an obvious sodomite, and it was Jim J. and Tammy Faye. Now she's turned her heart against God and has involved herself with this sodomite, and they're doing a talk show together. Jim gets out of prison, writes a couple of really good books, and I've got one of them. And I read it, and I'm going, thank you, God, he finally gets it. Because he admitted in these books, he said, we were just pilfering money from people. That's all we were doing. He said, we didn't study the Bible to get sermons out of it. We came up with ideas on how to get money out of people's pockets. And then we would write the sermon based upon that idea and find scriptures from whatever version we could to match that. He admitted it. That's how we did it. But now, Jim's got a new wife. He's down in Branson, Missouri. That's the only show I'll tell you don't go to. He's got a show down in Branson, Missouri. And he's basically selling every kind of quote-unquote Christian book that comes along, whether it's full of garbage or not. It doesn't matter to him. He'll sell it. He'll buy it at a cut rate, wholesale rate from whoever wrote the book. Sell it for your love offering of $65.95 plus $20 shipping and handling. That's way more than it costs. Way more than a book costs. And keep the majority of the money. Corruption. Jerry Falwell ended up being somewhat corrupt toward the last days of his ministry and his life here on this earth. And his son is way worse than he ever was. That's what happens. And I have begged God on more than one occasion, God, I don't want to turn out that way. I don't want to end up corrupt. I don't want to fall away from you, God. So, let me keep reading Exodus 8, verse 24. There came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses and all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. What does the word Baal mean? Or Baalzebub. It means Lord of the flies. Sort of like prince of the power of the air. A prince who is in charge of all the things that fly through the air. Do you kind of get what I'm saying here? Where is this verse? It talks about the flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to stink. I think it's in Proverbs. Let me look that word up here. Stink. That's eight times in your Bible. Apparently that wasn't the right word. Let's see here. That wasn't it either. Maybe I'll look up flies. Couldn't be too many places the word flies is mentioned in the Bible. Ah, it's Ecclesiastes 10:1. Dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor. So doth a little folly in him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. We had a young man in our church several years ago that I would let preach, and he fell into some false doctrine, and he didn't tell me about it. And I didn't know it. And while I was gone away to Kenya one year, he came out with this false doctrine. And everybody in the church knew that it wasn't right. It wasn't right. And so, when I found out about it, it was several days later when I found out about it, and I called him and I said, I want to, I'll talk to you when I get home, when I get back, and we'll sit down and we'll talk about everything. And I confronted him over his doctrinal stance. And here's what he said to me. He said, I've preached so many good messages in this church and in other churches, and yet I say one thing wrong according to these people, and that's what I'm remembered for. And I said, yes, that is an important lesson to remember. That you can preach fantastic sermons, but preach it. And what he said was that God lives on a planet called heaven, which is Mormon doctrine. It's the doctrine of Finis Dake, which that man is corrupt. But he got angry because he was being judged by everybody by this one sermon that he preached, this one lesson that he taught, this one sentence that he said. And I said, let that be a lesson to you, that you will be held accountable for the things that you say behind the pulpit. And you can never, ever get away with this notion, I'm the preacher, so therefore I cannot be wrong, like papal infallibility. Let's go back to corrupt. Because of the flies that was all in Egypt, because the swarms, now remember, flies would represent devils, evil spirits. They're there to devour and leave, and do flies leave maggots on living tissue? No, I've never had a fly lay maggots on my arm in my life. They always show up when something is dead, and they are part of that corruption process. You let your relationship with God via the Word of God and reading the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, and your prayer life, you let that get cold and dead on God, and I guarantee you the flies will show up. Because they can smell corruption miles away. And they will be there to hatch their eggs in the corruption that you created to continue the corruption process. There's a saying that says nature keeps a clean house. Any animal that dies in the woods, this is how come you don't see big piles of animal carcasses laying all over the woods. It is because nature has a cleanup system of cleaning up every little, even little piece of bone that could be there. Nature has a way of cleaning all of that up and reusing it again, recycling it again. In Exodus 32, this is when Moses was up on Mount Sinai the first time. And Moses has been up there 40 days. He's not eaten or drank anything. And he's up there, and God says to him, and the Lord said unto Moses, go get thee down, for thy people which have brought us out, which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They did it to themselves. And in what, how did they do it? Well, number one, they got tired of waiting on God. They got tired of waiting on God. We're not going to wait for God anymore. Moses climbed up that mountain. How do we know he didn't fall and break his back somewhere? He's probably laying up there dead. So, let's make us a new God. And let's go back to Egypt. So they all gave their earrings and their gold bracelets and everything they had that was gold. And sure enough, they put it all in this boiling pot, and out comes this calf. Craziest thing we've ever seen. This calf just popped out of this cauldron. It was because they corrupted themselves. They were down there literally doing everything God said in those Ten Commandments not to do. They were doing it. Now, that verse, they corrupted themselves, is backed up in other places in the Bible. And in corrupting themselves in Exodus 32, the corruption came about, or the fruition of their corruption, was the golden calf that they worshipped. So in Deuteronomy 4:16. Let me look back at verse 15. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no matter of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. In other words, you didn't see me. You didn't see my outline, my form, my shape. You saw nothing of me because I was covered by a cloud. Not even Moses was allowed to see all of God. God passed before him and showed him his back parts. And that in itself was just glory enough. So God says to them in verse Deuteronomy 4:16, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. In other words, idolatry. God simply said, don't do it. And I cannot, having witnessed to a lady several years ago, I've told this story, and asked her specifically, what is it that you're thinking when you go into your Catholic church? She was a Roman Catholic, and she was saying how wrong I was. And I said, let me ask you this. What is your rationale? How do you reason out when you walk into your church, and on one side there's a statue of Joseph, another side there's a statue of Mary, and in the middle, there is a statue of a dead Jesus on the cross called the crucifix. And along the way, there may be other statues of other saints, popes, you name it. How is it that you can justify that in your mind when God specifically said, and this is where she cut me off, I know our priest said we can't make images to false gods. No, that's not what he said. He said don't make any images, period. Don't make them. So, one thing you can know for sure is that any religious institution, be it Catholic, Buddhism, Islam, Hinduism, any of the Asian religions or any so-called Christian church that either makes man into a god or a stone or a piece of wood into a god. Either way, that religion is corrupt. They're not good people. They're not good, benevolent, kind, oh, I want to serve God type of people. They're not. Do you remember John Paul I? He was the guy that John Paul II named himself after. John Paul I was what I think, I read a book about him not too long after this happened. It was written by a British newspaper journalist, David Yallop, I think is what his name was. And he wrote this book called In God's Name. And he basically laid all the evidence out for why he believed that Pope John Paul I, who only sat on the throne of Peter for 33 days, dun, dun, dun. But one of the things that Pope John Paul I was going to do, he knew he needed to move quickly. And he's barely been in the office of Pope for a month. He is going to fire several of the top people in the Vatican. The Vatican Secretary of State, a lot of the top-ranking cardinals and bishops. He's going to fire them. He is going to do an investigation into the Vatican Bank, Banco Ambrosio, because he knew. He knew it for a fact that the Vatican Bank was being used to launder money from the Italian organized crime, the Italian mafia, the P2, which was the Italian Freemason Lodge. He knew that the Vatican Bank was also just as corrupt. There was a priest in Chicago by the name of Paul Marcinkus who was part of this. He was one of the Vatican bankers. And is Chicago, I mean, how clean is Chicago as a city and its politics and its banks? And yeah, Chicago's been corrupt ever since there was a Chicago. It's been corrupt. The corruption that exists in Illinois staggers my mind. It just blows me away, the amount of corruption that goes on. And so you have guys like Michael Sindona, Paul Marcinkus, the Vatican Secretary of State, who's in on it, amongst others. And he had a list of names that the next day he was going to get rid of them. And he died in his sleep? Really? That's what you want me to believe? No autopsy was done? Are you kidding me? No autopsy done? Nothing. And the Italian government cannot make the Vatican do an autopsy on a pope because the Vatican is its own sovereign nation. They have sovereign nation status among the nations of the world. Smallest country in the world, Vatican City. But he was killed because he knew that the church was being used to launder money. And think about it. Church time comes around. The guys pass the buckets or the plates, and people throw cash in there, and all that cash is counted, and it's supposed to be deposited in the bank. An account is supposed to be made. You're supposed to have an accounting book, and you write down the amount of cash that came in, and that amount has to be deposited, and you have to show in there this amount was deposited in the bank, and if you check that against the bank records, sure enough, you'll see a deposit of that amount. But since it's cash, you can lie about it. Let's say a Catholic church takes in on a Sunday morning, let's say they take in, I don't know, $8,000 in cash. But that particular Catholic church is linked in with the mafia or some other form of organized crime. And so the mafias, let's say they've got $300,000 that they need to launder. Well, they launder it through the Catholic Church. $300,000 is given. The church marks it down as $300,000 in offerings. And they deposit it in the banks. And then they make a loan to this mafia figure who's never going to pay the money back. Never going to pay it back. Now, I don't know all the how laundering money works. But I know for a, I have it from a source that there are Catholic priests in the St. Louis Archdiocese that are linked to the St. Louis Mafia. St. Louis has a lot of Italians. There is an area of St. Louis called The Hill. And it is full of Italian restaurants, Italian businesses, Italian funeral homes. And if somebody sells their house, they sell it to an Italian. They're keeping their neighborhood. And I have it from a source who had personal knowledge that one Catholic priest in particular was having an affair with this man's wife. She and this priest somewhat involved with the mafioso in the St. Louis area. Laundering money through the church. You would never think that in your mind that somebody, some evil organization would use the Holy Church of Rome to launder money through it. But when God said, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image. Deuteronomy 4:25, when thou shalt beget children and children's children, ye shall have remained long in the land and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger. Deuteronomy 9:12, the Lord said unto me, arise, get thee down quickly from hence, for thy people which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They are quickly turned aside out of the way which I commanded them. That's a reference back to Exodus. Deuteronomy 31:29, God says, for I know that after my, or Moses says, for I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I've commanded you. And evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. The work of their hands is, number one, a works-based religion. Number two, their idol-making hands. And God says, you're going to corrupt yourselves by the work of your hands. You're going to make idols. You're going to do good works, and with those good works, you're going to be told that those good works will get you into heaven. And yes, the Catholic Church teaches that. Catholic Church teaches you must live a clean, holy life, a sinless life, in order to attain heaven. You must do that. That's not true, people. Number one, it's not only not true, it's not possible that a person can live an absolute 100% perfectly righteous life in the sight of the Lord. If they can, why did Jesus die on the cross? Think about all these Italian mafia families. Generally, in these big families, at least one of the brothers is going to be a Catholic priest. What movie is it? I watched it. It's one of the Godfather movies. It's the only one I've ever seen. I haven't watched Godfather 1, Godfather 2. I've not seen any of those. But I read, like on a forum or something like that somewhere, you watch this particular Godfather movie. I think it's Godfather 4. Let me see here. Godfather Part 3. Actually, Godfather Part 3 basically tells the story of what happened to John Paul I. It was based upon true events that happened in the Vatican. And that the Vatican Bank was being used to launder billions of dollars. Billions. So why is there a Catholic priest in a lot of these mafia, Sicilian mafia families? Why does the Russian mafia, why is there a link between them and a Russian Orthodox church somewhere, especially in America? Number one, it's to have access to their bank and their account so they can launder money. Number two, it is so that all the things that are done by the members of the mafia family or the Russian mob family, it is so they can get their sins forgiven. Remember, I read this here a while back out of a Catholic encyclopedia that was in a Catholic Bible that somebody sent to me. And it listed things like indulgences and sacred emblems that you can wear. And one of those was a rosary. If you have a rosary that was blessed by a pope, then if you wore it every day of your life and you had it on you, on the day that you died, then you automatically are forgiven of all of your sins and go immediately into heaven. And that's what, is it Al Pacino? His character in The Godfather 3, that's basically what happens to him. He donates a large sum of money to the church. And for it, he gets some sort of medal for it. and he will be forgiven of all sins and transgressions the rest of his life. Even though he's a thief, he's a robber, he's a murderer, even though they traffic human trafficking women or children, doesn't matter to them. Even though they traffic in drugs, doesn't matter. They are automatically forgiven of sins. That's corrupt. That's corrupt. And what shows you, according to the Bible, their corruption? The fact that they pray to statues. Is it true around the world? Is that just America and Italy? No. Every nation that has Catholic churches in it, the majority of those churches are going to be corrupt. Going to be corrupt. Who was it? The Australian Archbishop. I can't remember his name. George Pell. Cardinal Archbishop Pell. Very high ranking member of the Vatican College of Cardinals. Was the Archbishop over all of Australia. Had a reputation for sodomizing choir boys and altar boys. Was actually tried, convicted by a jury, and sentenced by a judge. And went to prison. But because of the power and the influence that that man had, he appealed his case all the way to the Australian Supreme Court, and they tossed the whole case out and set the man free. That's corruption, people. Pure corruption. It was corruption. When we started our first radio station in Samburu, Kenya. And after hearing us for a while, we were made an offer by the Catholic Church in Kenya to buy the programming between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. They wanted the daylight programming hours. And they offered us $2 million. And we turned it down. We turned it down. My conscience, you might say, and believe me, part of this came into my mind, Mike, you could take that $2 million and do a lot of good with it. I guarantee you, God wouldn't have let me. To sell those people out to the Catholic Church or any other church for that matter, to sell those people out after I've spent months giving them the true gospel, only to accept what amounted to a payoff to keep my mouth shut, to basically the number one enemy of Bible Christianity in this world. To sell those people out, my conscience would not let me do it. I'm going, I can't turn my back on these people. I can't do it. Now, I can tell you, there's things that I cannot tell you right now. about how God is using our radio stations in Kenya. But I can tell you that our transparency and our lack of corruption in Kenya has been noticed. It has. And I am overwhelmed at what God hath wrought there. Deuteronomy 32 verse 5. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Crooked. That means that their ways are like a serpent. They're over here, now they're over here, now they're over here. They can't walk a straight line. They can't do things straight. They don't deal straight and honest with people. Everything about them is crooked because they are corrupt. The first time I went to Kenya in 2011, Michael and I, we were in Kitale, Kenya, and Kitale is Michael's hometown. And I preached at four different churches that day I don't know what day it was, a Friday maybe, or a Saturday, but we preached at four different churches that day. Or maybe it was Sunday. But anyway, we ended up just preaching here, there, 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 and there. And by the time we got done, it was already dark. And we were going back to the place where we were staying. It used to be, and I think it still might have been, an old golf resort that the British started years ago, back when British ruled over Kenya. And so we were staying there. And on the way back, there was a traffic backup. And what I asked Michael, I said, why is traffic backed up? And he looked and he said, oh, there's a roadblock up here. And he said, there really isn't much of a police force. The military are the police force, okay, in Kenya. And he said, they're going to search our car. I said, how do you know? And he said, we had rented a car. And he said, this is a relatively new car and it's real nice. And he said, only members of parliament drive cars like this. And he said, usually, not in every case, but usually it's the members of parliament who are smuggling drugs back and forth across the country. I went, are you kidding me? He said, no. And sure enough, they stopped us and searched the car. And I told them that I was a missionary preacher. We had been preaching all day in the area. I told them where we were staying. And I think we may have given them a DVD or something like that. Prayed for them. But that got to me. But I can tell you this. Right now, I'm not real sure that America is any better than that. When it comes to corruption in politics, isn't it funny? And I mean strange that before the significant events of 2020, I'll say it that way, all of the major news outlets were burying the Hunter Biden laptop story, calling it Russian disinformation. Russia's trying to sway the outcome. And now it's found out that the FBI has been investigating this laptop that was left at a computer repair shop, and it was left there so long that under contract, the computer repair shop owner was allowed to keep it as part of his pay, as his pay for the laptop being abandoned and left there. It was legally his. And he started looking on it, and he went, "Oh my goodness, I can't believe what's on here." And people, I've heard stories about what's on that laptop, and I'm not going to get into that. But there is corruption in American politics that goes from the White House to all the governor mansions to the county elections, to the county executives or whatever form of government each county has. You have got corrupt mayors, you've got corrupt judges, you've got corrupt police, you've got corrupt congressmen, you've got corrupt everything. This nation is turning to corruption. And it won't last. We're a bloated elephant laying out in the African grass just waiting to explode. There's a YouTube video of a leopard. He finds him a zebra that's laying there dead. He thinks he's really got himself a meal now. He doesn't see how swollen that zebra is. But I mean, it is so swollen, the legs are just sticking almost straight up in the air. And generally, whether it's a leopard or a lion or a hyena or a dog or anything like that, they always go for the soft underbelly because that's where the skin is thinnest. And that leopard bit into that skin and juice started shooting out of that zebra. Nasty, corrupt juice shooting out. And it got got that leopard so disgusted that he ran off away from that zebra, shaking his head, licking that stuff off of him. Not even he wanted that. Let's see here. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good." People that are agnostic or atheists, they're corrupt. The person who says there is no God, that person, according to the Bible, is corrupt because of the fact that they don't believe that there is a judgment coming to them at the end of their life. So they feel like they can do whatever they want to, do whatever they can, and get away with it for eternity. Because they don't believe that God or any God is going to judge them whatsoever. And ask yourself the question, what is it that keeps our hearts right with God? I guarantee you it's not our willpower and it's not our flesh. It is the Holy Ghost making us afraid to go to hell. That's exactly what that is. Psalm 38:5, David said, "My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness." We did, in our youth, people, we've done stupid, foolish, horrible things. Horrible things. And we stink, in some cases, to this very day in the minds of certain people because of things we've done. Let's see here. Proverbs 25:26. This is a good one. A righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. So, if I got an invitation from the Vatican to go meet Pope Francis, traditionally, when you meet the Pope, it doesn't matter who you are, you bow and you kiss his ring. I wouldn't do it. I'm not doing it. Of course, I cannot imagine a scenario in any way, shape, or form where I would get an invitation to meet Pope Francis at the Vatican. I don't see that coming anytime soon. But a righteous man falling down before the wicked is as a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. When we elevate and lift up men, women of ill repute, rock stars, country music stars, Hollywood stars, it doesn't matter. When we lift these people up and put them on a pedestal because they act or because they can sing or because they can play guitar or whatever it is, when we bow down to these people, we're the corrupt ones. We're a corrupt spring. That's what we are. Isaiah 1, verse 4, a sinful nation, people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. When somebody around you is corrupt, corruption has a way of taking over, doesn't it? Corruption never stands still. It always wants to spread itself. As long as there's something to eat, they'll eat it. It's like leprosy. Leprosy is a form of corruption. Once the corruption starts, the leprosy doesn't just take one finger. It'll take the whole arm and then move into the body is what it'll do. That's corruption. That's how it works. Children that are corruptors. So if you are, you can recognize corrupt preachers, corrupt scholars, corrupt evangelists, corrupt YouTube, quote unquote, YouTube pastors. You can find these people. They're easy to spot. All you have to do is listen to them read scripture. And as they're reading scripture, if they stop and they say, now the original Greek says something entirely different here, and I like the original Greek the way it says it. Your Bible is wrong. Well, you've got yourself a corrupt person who is corrupting the Word of God. A better translation is such and such. According to the original Hebrew, it actually says something other than what your Bible says. And God said, they have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, and they are gone away backward. Doing the moonwalk. Isaiah 38:17, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Where did Jesus receive the stripes from? On his back. Let's see here. Where else? Let's get some New Testament here. Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Moth and rust. In other words, everything in this world is in a process of breaking down. It's called the second law of thermodynamics. Whereas evolution teaches you the exact opposite. It teaches you that every system and everything in this universe is progressing to a better state. The second law of thermodynamics says that everything breaks down to its lower state. Someone who follows this ministry is a friend of mine. We conversed, I think, yesterday and this morning about a certain issue. And I remembered that, and he said something about stars. And I remembered that stars, you know, the stars that are in the heavens, at their core, they are manufacturing in this nuclear furnace, they're manufacturing iron. And after a while, that iron becomes so large and so heavy is that it literally causes the star to fall in on itself. Did you catch what I'm saying? Iron is easily magnetized. It's one of the properties of iron. And once the furnace, the nuclear furnace of a sun, of a star, once that iron begins to grow and grow and grow and get larger and gets larger, that star gets larger, starts losing its luminance, turns red, then it collapses in on itself. It falls. Literally, it falls. Moth and rust doth corrupt. And rust is another form of fire. It is the slow oxidization of metals. Fire is the quick oxidization of things. Rust is basically fire in slow motion. Very slow motion. You can't actually see it happen. Matthew 7:17. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. The fruit of his lips. What he says. Because what he says is ultimately going to come out of the abundance of his heart. Oh, let's see here. I like this one. Acts chapter 2 is quoting a verse out of the, I think it's Psalms 2. Acts chapter 2 verse 27. Because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. How many days was Christ in the tomb? 2 days, and early on the third day, He rose from the dead. Now, I like that because that's what I think historically is happening. God has purified this book seven times. Okay? He's purified this word seven times. Not only is it not corrupt, it's incorruptible. And it cannot produce evil fruit. I was just out of curiosity. I remembered a name from back years ago. Some of you might remember this name. A false cult leader by the name of Tony Alamo. It looks like Tony Alamo. Okay, but it's pronounced Alamo. And this guy was wacky. I mean a cult leader. He was an entertainer back in the 60s, so he knew how to move an audience. And he got a pretty big following there for a while. He was very racist. And he came from Northwest Arkansas. And not everybody in Northwest Arkansas are racist. But he came from Northwest Arkansas. And there are a lot of neo-Nazi groups there. Skinheads, KKK is headquartered in Northwest Arkansas. And he came from Alma, Arkansas. I've actually been to that town. But Tony Alamo was corrupt. Very corrupt. His church, quote unquote, ran several businesses in different places around the country, and that all that money was fed into Tony and his wife. And he believed that he had the power to heal. He believed that he had the power to raise people from the dead. When his wife died, he forbid them from burying her body. And he wanted it on display because he believed that he would pray and resurrect her from the dead. Of course, that never happened. He was convicted in 2009 of trafficking young girls across state lines for immoral purposes. But he used the King James Bible. So, well, Pastor Mike, you just said that the King James is pure, that it cannot produce corrupt fruit. The King James didn't. If Tony Alamo would have stuck with the King James, he wouldn't have been corrupt. But rather than telling everybody to just read their Bible and God would give them understanding, they had to get it from him. He would get revelations from God and they had to hear it from him. That's corrupt. Very corrupt. And so here's the point I'm making with this. So for 2 days, into the third day, God would not allow His Holy One to see corruption. Here is the Holy One, the Bible. And now for over 2,000 years, God has not allowed this Bible to see corruption. Amen! This Bible is not corrupt in anything that it says. If it is, I might as well get out of the ministry because I've got nothing to say. Absolutely nothing to say. Oh, let's see here. Romans 1:23. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. God is not corrupt. He's never been corrupt, and he never will be corrupt. The Mormon doctrine that says that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man will be. It basically says that our God used to be a man on a planet called Kolob, and that he was a sinner like us. People, that angers me. When they talk about my God being at one time a sinful man. Oh, that angers me. What they've done is they've changed the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Four things. Let's see here. 1 Corinthians 15, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. There is a video that just came out. I've had three people already tell me that I needed to watch it. And it's about COVID. I am probably going to watch it. If I find something in it that I can show you from Scripture that is a lie, then I'm going to say it. Because way too many lies have been told, not just on the evil Bill Gates pharmaceutical big government people, but by conspiracy theorists too. Too many lies have been told. And you guys remember that God smote my heart after the significant events of 2020, which I'm not allowed to say, and said, Mike, you've been following all the stuff on the internet, but you've not been following my word. And I don't care how many of you, and I'm not telling you the name of the video. I won't promote it. I don't care how many of you watch this video and say, that's it. We knew it all along. That's the truth, man. We're going to tell everybody. If I find something in it that violates Scripture, I'm going to say it. And you can just be mad at me if you want. It is not my job to promote every right-wing conspiracy theory that's out on the internet. That is not my job, people. My job is to look in this book and warn you that you're not following this book. You're following after what matches your own agenda of how you think everything's going to turn out. But you're not following this book. And it's my responsibility to try to stop evil communications from corrupting you. It's my job. So, because I have tried to do that in the past, I have been called names. I've been accused of being in the Illuminati. I've been accused of working for Satan. Do you know how that makes me feel? No wonder I deal with depression and anxiety, and some days I don't even want to do my work. Because on some days I think, well, no matter what I say, I'm just going to make a bunch of people mad because I don't agree with them on their outrageous conspiracy theories. And the reason why is I can't see it in Scripture anywhere. I've had people walk away from this ministry. I've had people leave our church over it. But I'm not going to just fall for every viral video out there where people make stuff up. And I'm not saying this video does. I haven't watched it yet. But I've learned to be very critical about what comes out on the internet. I've learned that because I know that evil communications, whether they're on the left or the right wing, they can, hey, preachers and patriots can lie just like the rest of us. Just like the liberals, just like the Antifa crowd. They can lie just like Joe Biden and Hillary Clinton and Bill Gates. People who want YouTube views and to get noted and big and famous on social media, people can lie and spread lies as long as their video goes viral. They don't care. And then it's got you convinced that what they're saying is true. And then you spread it around all over the place. And it's no wonder why nobody in your family will listen to you anymore. And it's because they think you're a wacko. And then you try to talk to them about their salvation. You try to talk to them about the Lord, and they won't listen to you for nothing. We were the salt of the earth, and the salt is losing its savor rapidly because of evil communications. And besides this, so let's say that I watch this video, and I can't find anything wrong with it. Will there be anything in this video that will cause people to repent of their sins, trust in Jesus with all their heart, and be born again? If there's not anything like that, why should I promote it? I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not somebody who is eager to rack up YouTube counts and become the big dog of social media. Somebody's got to be telling the truth. I would like for it to be me. I know that only God is true and every man is a liar. Because you see in 1 Peter 1:23, we are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So, Brother Wayne Shirk in our church, who died of COVID, September 2020, did he go to hell? No. Did he go to hell because he caught COVID? Because they lied to us about what it really was? Did he go to hell? No. We're not saved or unsaved. We don't keep our salvation or lose our salvation just because somebody says something on YouTube or whatever social media they use. We're saved by grace through faith in the Word of God, through the incorruptible Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And again, I have been accused of being a Satan worshiper, an agent for the devil, a false teacher, a false prophet. Simply because I won't promote all the conspiracy theories that went around about COVID and the COVID vaccine. When really what my first priority is to not teach you to be afraid of the one who can kill your body, but to teach you to fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. That's what I'm here for. And I love you. And I will always do my best to always tell you the truth. Whether you love me for it or hate me for it, I will do my best to do that. Because you're the reason why I do what I do. God bless you. I thank you for listening to me today. Be praying for our ministry next week. We will be in Fort Wayne, Indiana next week from this Friday and Saturday. Go to www.swrc.com. For more of the details, and I hope to be able to see you guys there because I love you very much. And remember, do this.